Good afternoon. So, you know, if you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up, you usually get some kind of response that indicates greatness, right? I want to be a firefighter. I want to be a princess. Whatever it is. And usually, even though it always involves some sense of greatness, usually it's still untouched by thoughts of politicking or having to push other people out of the way or any kind of selfishness. Usually, when you ask a little kid what they want to be when they grow up and they give you that kind of response, it's usually along the lines of, I want to be a firefighter because I want to be the person saving other people. I'm going to run into the building when everyone else is leaving and pull people out and save them and be the hero of the day. Or I want to be a princess because I want to make sure that, like, everyone gets a puppy and cookies, you know, or whatever it is, right? There's usually some sense of altruism. There's usually a selflessness to it, a selflessness to it. That I would submit to you is from God. That God put that there. That God put on all of our hearts from a very young age a desire to do something great, to be something great. And that you see it, just as proof, you see it in kids. Again, still untainted. As we grow up, of course, we get exposed to the real world, and we experience politics and having to having to push some people out of our way and ambition and that kind of thing. What I think is interesting too, though, is that even as we grow up, there's still that desire deep down in our hearts to do something amazing, to be someone amazing. As proof of this, I would submit to you what I saw at where I'm stationed when the most recent superhero movie came out. I forgot it was, I want to say it was like one of the Fantastic Four movies or Superman or one of the Marvel movies, right? And it just came out and we have a, do you guys have a movie theater here? No. Got your MSG commander right in the back here now. but anyways, this movie theater was packed, with a whole bunch of people who probably wouldn't admit that they really enjoy it, but they were all there. 18, 19, 20-year-old guys, and some girls, and some older people as well. I will readily admit that I enjoyed the movie. But I think the reason why we enjoy those kinds of things, even as adults, especially how they do them now, these kind of superhero movies now, is because when you watch these movies, we can relate to them, and we almost can wish that it was real. Because the way these movies are, they're not cartoons anymore. They do the effects really well. So it's real live people that have these superpowers. And what makes it especially believable is that when you're watching this, you say, wow, these people have some of the same kind of human problems I do. They have issues with family and friends or with work, or they have regular stressors and they're still kind of messed up human beings just like all of us, and I can relate to that, and yet they have this cool superpower. And there's a sense that almost wishes that it were true. We watch these things knowing that, of course, they're not true. No one really has these kind of superpowers. But we watch it, and I think what's so attractive about these movies is that it kind of calls out in us that same desire from childhood that God put on our hearts to do something great and to be someone great. The reason why I bring up all of this is because in this gospel today, continuing from last week's gospel, right, I preached last week about how, and this was just a few verses earlier in last week's gospel, Mark chapter 8, Jesus was telling his disciples that I'm going to suffer. He's saying, he was correcting their mistaken notions of what it meant to be the Christ, of what it meant to be the Messiah, and he told them, the Christ is going to suffer. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to suffer too. And so he's continuing that thought at the beginning of today's gospel. He's telling his disciples, the Son of Man is going to be handed over to men and they're going to kill him. And as they're walking and Jesus is continuing this conversation, Mark tells us that his disciples kind of walking behind a little bit, weren't really paying attention to Jesus, and they were talking about something. They were having their own kind of little conversations. Jesus is trying to teach, you know, on this walk that they're taking. And so once they're in Capernaum, Jesus says, by the way, what were you arguing about when I was, you know, trying to teach you? What were you talking about? And it says they remained silent. They were embarrassed about what they were talking about. Mark fills us in and it says they remained silent because they had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Jesus, I mean, like, really, Jesus is kind of thinking, like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, seriously, I was talking to you about how greatness means laying down your life and service to others and suffering and all of these things that I've been talking to you about, and you're arguing about who's the greatest. In other versions of this story, by the way, we hear it drawn out even more. The disciples actually ask Jesus, can one of us sit at your left and one of us sit at your right? There's a real sense, an even greater sense of ambition. Can we rub elbows with you, Jesus? You know? And you got to imagine Jesus is like probably freaking out. Like, seriously, you guys are like not paying attention. You're not even trying to pay attention. You're missing what I'm saying. And so how does Jesus respond to this? It says that he puts a child in their midst. Kind of takes a child, puts it on his lap, and says, you need to become like this child. And interestingly enough, he doesn't say that to say, you need to become childish. He's not saying you should become childish and whine and complain about what you want. Arguably, they're already doing that. And he's not saying it in the sense of, you need to become like a child in the sense of, just stay lowly and humble and just kind of stay out of the way. He's not using it in that sense either. I would submit to you that what he's doing by putting that child in their midst is saying, you're called to greatness, but you need to kind of devolve a little bit to where you were when you were a child like this child here, who also wants to be someone great and do something great, but hasn't yet been tainted by the world, and isn't thinking in terms of selfishness and ambition, greatness, and who do I have to knock out of the way, greatness, but what can I do great for God and for others? Just to tie in our second reading briefly, St. James talked about this, and he even says, right at the beginning of that second reading, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. And he goes on, he lists all these problems, and he says, where do they come from? He says, they come from our own disordered passions. It's not the calling. The calling to greatness is a good thing. God put it there. What happens is it gets corrupted as we grow up sometimes. And we forget that being great is doing what Christ did. The greatest man who ever lived suffered and died. And was the servant of all and lived completely for God and for others. And yet, it's a completely true thing to say that he was the greatest man who ever lived. I think what makes this really exciting for us as Catholics and as Christians is that we are called to this greatness. We're called to be like those superheroes in those movies that when we watch, we say, God, I wish that were true. It's almost believable. I wish I did have some kind of cool superpower and be able to do something great for God and for others. And the good news today is that you do have that superpower. You have the best possible superpower ever, I would submit to you. The best possible superpower is not being able to shoot a web out of your wrist or to light things on fire or to teleport, you know, invisibly or whatever. I would argue, and if you want to argue theology with me later, bring it on. I would argue that the greatest superpower is being able to channel the divine, whether that be spreading God's love, His mercy, His truth, His healing, His comfort, to be an instrument of God, I would argue, is the greatest superpower. To actually be able to channel the divine in whatever way in which you're called to do that. One of the great things that John Paul II, two popes ago, did, he went out of his way to find in our history, and especially in our recent history, men and women of every social class, of every nation, of every ethnicity, who lived good, holy lives, and he really pushed their causes for canonization. There's a whole procedure that has to happen before you can become canonized a saint, and it involves your local diocese, the place where you grew up and they knew you. It involves them looking into your life and investigating your life and seeing that, yeah, you were a sinner like everyone else, but that you did these great holy things, and this, the whole case is, you know, passed from there to the Vatican, and they continue to look into it, and then ultimately you're formally canonized, and it's the church recognizing that, yeah, you were a sinner just like everyone else, you're a human being, but you left a mark, so much so that after you died, people were still talking about you. People were still looking to your example. And canonization process as well involves basically getting God's proof that you are in fact in heaven, which is why we require miracles through your intercession. Because if we're able to prove that something happened through your intercession, then what that means is that you're in heaven, because you're not able to intercede for something if you're in purgatory, if you're in hell, right? So that's the reason why we require that. But John Paul II canonized more saints than any other pope before him. And again, they were from every possible situation, every possible social class, and every job, every place of the world. And I think he did that to show us that we're all called to that. We're all called to be saints. We're all called to be superheroes. We're all called to exercise that superpower that arguably all of us have been given in baptism and in confirmation. You all have that superpower already. You just need to use it. You need to untap it and use it. And I want you to, I'll wrap up with this. Think about something for a minute. I want you to seriously think about this. And you're going to laugh and you're going to chuckle, but I want you to just seriously consider this. Are you living the kind of life right now that when you die, people will still be talking about you in the good way? They'll be remembering how great you were, how you lived out that vocation to greatness, that you served other people, that you put God first, others second, and yourself last. And that they're going to be looking at you and making your cause for canonization, pushing that forward. And imagine what that would be like. Imagine yourself being canonized a saint, and your picture being on little prayer cards. Saint so-and-so, Air Force officer. Saint so-and-so, mother, teacher, doctor, janitor, whatever. And we've had all of them. Imagine that. You, a saint. People naming churches after you. People having statues of you hundreds of years from now, and praying to you in heaven, asking for you, who is with God in heaven, to pray for them, to intercede for them. They say, hey, Saint so-and-so, you were in the Air Force during a rough time. I'm in the Air Force now, and I'm having a rough time. Ask God to intercede for me. Ask God to help me out. Are you living that kind of life? Am I living that kind of life? And we think about that like, oh, that's not for me. I'm not going to be a saint. Like, I'm not going to be. No, you're all called to that. We're all called to that. And I would ask you to seriously consider that. And don't push that off as, oh, I'm not called to that. No, that's crap. You're all called to that. You're all called to be saints. We're all called to be saints. We're all called to that greatness that Christ is making a point about when he puts that child in their midst. He says, just like all those children have those thoughts of greatness, we need to remember that we're called to that greatness and kind of devolve a little bit and let go of those things that the world has tainted us with. As St. James was saying in the second reading, get rid of the jealousy and the selfish ambition. Recognize that you're called to greatness. You're called to be a saint. You're called to exercise that amazing superpower of channeling the divine. And ask yourself, is what I'm doing today helping me towards that or not? There's a maxim in the spiritual life that you don't ever stand still, that you're always moving in the spiritual life. And so every single thing I say and do is either moving me towards sanctity and sainthood or away from it. So I want all of you to ask yourself that as you go through your day, as you go through your week, something to keep in mind. Like, I'm called to be a saint. Is the way I'm living my life right now helping me towards that or not? Let's keep that in mind. Let's recognize that we have that great calling, and let's do our best to live up to it and to become saints.